Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were here before worship and had an opportunity to see some of those slides, you may have noticed that that first slide in the announcements notes that Lent is a time of reflection, renewal, and preparation. During Lent, we walk with our Lord in spirit as he makes his way to the cross to pay for our sins with his very life, and Lent's a way of preparing for that. But Lent is also a time to reflect on what it means to live as a servant of God and to renew our commitment to that high calling. As Paul said in Romans, we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds and hearts. As we do that in Lent, it may mean that you're going to see areas of your life that may need a little inspection, may need some changing. You know, change isn't easy. I think one of my favorite cliches about change is that the only one who likes change is a baby with a dirty diaper. I don't know about you. I don't know. Have you ever tried to change something in your life? Maybe it was a bad habit, or even a bad relationship, or a bad attitude, or a bad decision. Whatever it was or is, it's something you probably looked at and said, this just isn't right. This has to change. And I think one of the reasons why it's so hard to change things is that we are so impatient. In our society, we're offered things quickly. We're offered instant change. When you watch TV, you want to change the channel, you do it with a simple click of the remote, if you can pry it out of the hands of your kids. Or you look at your cell phone and you change the screen by simply tapping here or there. You put food in the microwave and it's ready to eat with just a zap or two. Because we can change channels and screens and food so fast, we think that we should be able to change our lives with just a click or a tap or a zap as well. On Wednesday, we started a series that we're going to be following through Lent titled, Let My People Go, as we focus on the book of Exodus. And this morning, we're talking about how God changes us. And what we see in Exodus is that God uses the same process with us as he used with Moses. And the most important word in that last sentence is the word process. Change, godly change, is a process. A process that takes time. Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10, tell of Moses' birth and his adoption by Pharaoh's daughter. But then at verse 11, 40 years have passed. And Moses, one day, went out to where his people were laboring as slaves, and while he was there, he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Then we read in verse 12, Moses looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. This was no crime of passion. Moses deliberately killed this man, hid his body, and thought no one knew. But the next day, he meets two Israelites fighting, in fact, going to blows. And when he asked why one struck the other, the man says, "Who do you think you are? You don't have authority over me. So are you going to kill me too?" And then we read in verse 14, "Then Moses was afraid and thought, surely the thing is known." And it was. How many of you ever watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments? I mean, it's a good movie, right? It doesn't follow the Bible very well, though. Not really. If you watch that and then read the Bible, you quickly see that DeMille took a lot of artistic license. Pharaoh's heart isn't broken because he's forced to banish his favored son. In fact, the Pharaoh of the Bible doesn't think twice, but is ready to kill Moses on the spot. And so Moses hightails it to an area of modern-day Saudi Arabia called Midian. And there he meets his future wife and her father Jethro, and he lives there for another 40 years. And that's where our Old Testament reading began. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. For 40 years, all Moses sees are sheep. For 40 years, all Moses hears are sheep. For 40 years, all Moses must think about are sheep. Sheep, sheep, and more sheep. And he must have been wondering, this just isn't right. It's got to change. Have you ever been stuck in a rut? You know, when we think of being stuck in a rut, we often think of a situation like a job, kind of like maybe what Moses is going through here. His vocation as a shepherd was probably getting a little old. But a rut can really be anything. It can be a bad habit, like being overly critical of other people. It can be the inability to control your spending. Or maybe you've allowed yourself to cut too many corners and know that you haven't been as ethically upright as you ought to be. Or maybe you've wanted to live a deeper life of faith, but just can't seem to get motivated to read your Bible or to pray regularly. Ruts come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, but they all have one thing in common. They're difficult to get out of. Difficult to change. And when we recognize that we're in them, we likely say, this just isn't right. It's got to change. But how? Well, here's how it worked for Moses. And as God's child, as one whom God loves and cares for, I believe this is the way God works in our lives too. The process, remember the word process, the process of change begins with God's presence. Verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. Now that's an interesting statement. More interesting than most of us probably realize. The word angel literally means messenger. That's all the word angel means. But this is no ordinary angel. Whenever this particular Hebrew phrase comes up in the Old Testament, it's clear that this isn't just some angelic being. This angel of the Lord is clearly the Lord God himself. This phrase, the angel of the Lord, is probably most properly translated the messenger or even the message of the Lord. See, this angel, and most scholars agree on this, this angel of the Lord is God's word who will one day take on flesh and dwell among us. And we know him as Jesus. And this is no ordinary fire that Moses sees either. It's a fire that's in a bush and it's burning and it's not consuming the bush. I mean, that, you know, certainly would catch your attention. But this is a fire of God. The fire of God appears here. The fire of God appears when God calls Gideon. The fire of God appears when God calls Amos. The fire of God appears when God calls the disciples on the day of Pentecost. John even says that the one whose way he prepares will baptize us with fire. This fire is the Spirit's fire. And wherever the Spirit's fire shows up, something significant happens. Change happens. It changed in the lives of those other people that I mentioned. It's going to certainly change in the life of Moses. And so what does Moses say when he sees the fire of God and hears the angel of God call out his name? He says one word, Hinani. Now in verse 4, that Hebrew word is translated, here I am, but it really means more than that. Hinani means, God, I'm at your service. Hinani means, like the hymn, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Hinani means, to Moses, whether he knows it or not, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to change. So we hear the Lord say to Moses, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I know their suffering, and so I have come down to rescue them. You know, I think some of the most beautiful words in that section are the words, "I know their suffering." He speaks them not just to Moses about the Hebrews who are suffering in Egypt. He actually also speaks them to us today as well. You see, in Christ, you are his beloved. And God knows where you are, and he loves you right where you are. But did you hear what else God said? "I have come down." See, God loves you too much to leave you where you are. He knows your suffering, and he wants to do something about it. And so he comes down with the fire of his presence, the power of his word, even today, to bring change into your life. And so that process of change begins with God's presence. And it continues with God's plan. "The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, so go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Now remember, Moses is 40, or was 40 when he left Egypt, and 40 more years has passed. Moses is now 80 years old. He's going to live another 40 years, but he doesn't know that. And I wonder if he was maybe thinking, 40 years ago, maybe. But at 80 now? No way. So the excuses start. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And notice how God responds. He doesn't say, "Hey guy, where's your confidence? You walked through a desert to get here from Egypt. You've been taking care of these sheep with no problem at all. You can do anything if you just set your mind to it. You can do it." But he doesn't say that. God doesn't say any of that. He doesn't, because "who am I" is always the wrong question when we think about God doing something in our life. When we want to change, the question, "who am I," is wrong every time. The question isn't "who am I," but rather, "God, who are you?" See, God's the one who brings any changes that we need to do if we're going to do his work. He asks us, though, just to live by faith, to trust not in ourselves, but to trust in him. And he will change us. He'll do what needs to be done in our lives. But remember, it's a process, one step at a time. You see, in essence, God's saying to Moses and to you and me here, "You will see my plan unfold when you simply say, 'Hinani, here I am.' Just keep taking steps toward getting your finances straightened out. Don't give up on repairing that relationship. Get serious about the words that you're using that you don't like to hear come out your mouth." He told Moses in verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God on this mountain." Now, Moses wasn't going to see that sign until a lot of other things were done. But he just had to take it one step at a time. And while God doesn't promise a sign like that for us either, he does ask us to do what he asked Moses to do. Trust him. Take things a step at a time. Trust him to be with you. One day. One day you will get to that mountain that looks so big right now. Have you ever picked up a piece of plywood that's been lying on the ground for a while and had bugs or mice or maybe even a snake or a lizard or two come running out? It's a pretty creepy picture. And that's one that would probably make any of us drop that plywood and run. I think that's the way change often looks like to us. It can look ugly. It can look scary. Be easy to run away, just to give up, to settle for life as it was. At times the status quo doesn't look as bad as we thought it did. But even as we think that, we know it's not true. And that's why we need one more thing from God: his provision. And God does provide. Moses has four excuses why he won't change. But God continues to provide what he needs. I don't know your name. So God provides his name. I am. And Jesus has done the same for you and me. In fact, Jesus' name is the same. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And not coincidentally, that word in the Greek New Testament is the same word that's translated I am in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint. When we get discouraged, we remember and call on the I am who always is, who's always right here for us. But Moses said, Israel's leaders won't believe me. So God gives him two miracles. The rod that turns into a snake and a leprous hand that heals. And Jesus gives us an even greater sign, an even greater miracle. He gives us a cross and a resurrection, a promise that our sins are paid for, a promise that our life will never end. But I'm not a good speaker. So God gives Aaron to Moses. He wasn't alone. He had someone to lean on. And so do you and I. You know, I think this is one of the themes that has been playing out in my life since I came here about 5 years ago. One of the things that I'm becoming more and more convinced of is how important the community of faith is for us. This is a hard world. We can't do it alone. And that's why God has given us to one another. Our brother Richard breaks our hearts to know that right now he may be, it's like I said, sitting somewhere scared, not knowing what to do. And so we do what we can. We pray for him. And if he was here, we know we'd give him a hug. We know we'd hold him up. We knew we'd do whatever we needed to do to help him. And that's the way we can rely on one another here as well. You're never alone. God gives us each other. But God, somebody else can do it better. So God says, in essence, that's enough, Moses. You're my guy. So what are your excuses? God, I'm too old. Or, God, I'm too young. God, I'm too messed up. Or, God, it's too late. I don't know enough of the Bible. You know, no matter what excuse you may have, the voice from that burning bush, the voice of the Lord's message, Jesus' voice, says to you, I love you. I shed my blood for you. I'm not finished with you. And I don't care what you've done, that's in the past, that's forgiven. We're going to move forward together. There's a story told of Napoleon Bonaparte when he was in the middle of a huge battle. His officers came to him and said, if we don't retreat now, we're going to be annihilated. And so Napoleon called his bugler and ordered him to sound the retreat. But the young bugler just stared at him. So Napoleon commanded again, sound the retreat. To which the bugler finally confessed, I was never taught how to sound retreat. I was only taught how to sound in advance. At which Napoleon said, in that case, sound in advance. And because the bugler sounded in advance, they won the battle. You might be in a place right now calling on God to sound a retreat. Things are tough. But God only knows how to sound in advance. God is determined. He's determined to change us through his presence, through his plan, through his loving provision. So what are we going to say? How about saying what Moses said? Hinani, here I am. I'm going to trust that you can change me to do whatever it is you want me to do. Amen.